Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back. We are back on a Wednesday. We have
a lot to talk about
today. This is an exciting one. This is kind of where the third act of the movie has been leading towards, right here.
Yep. So we are at the climax.
Yeah. Well, half of the climax here.
Yeah.
So sure. today and tomorrow will be the pinnacle of the third act. And I'm excited for it, man. Let's get into it.
So the Fremen all shout something in Chukopsa. And mind you, the subtitles here say in Chukopsa.
I know. I was so upset that we didn't get translation here.
The inconsistency in the subtitles is definitely due... doing some not good things in my brain. Yeah.
I think this was a like in the moment decision by the director, probably, because that is not in the script. It's like all Fremen shout the thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this was likely just something they did on the spot.
We don't get a translation for this Chukopsa though. No. I think it's just like everyone agrees. Go.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Some kind of, I mean, not clearly some kind of like ritualistic start. Yeah,
sure. And then Jameis pounds his chest twice with his left fist. And whoever did the Foley for that, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Just nice, meaty thud sounds.
Well, who does that remind you of? That's what Duncan did before he started fighting. Not twice on his chest, but hit his chest once.
He hit his chest once to activate his shield.
I'm just saying. That's similarities between Duncan's fighting style and the Fremen fighting style. He learned from them. He did. Yeah,
he learned from them. He did spend time with them.
I think, you know.
I wonder if Duncan spent time with Jameis or just Fremen in general. That would be.
Well, so he knew Stilgar.
Yep.
And so Jameis is part of Stilgar's crew. So, yeah, I think that they would have been hanging out together. Yeah.
Jameis pounds his chest twice with his left fist. And one of the Fremen in the audience just kind of like mumbles something or like just kind of says something, I guess, off as an aside.
I missed that. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't hear it. But Paul does. And he kind of like he catches Paul off guard. And Jameis notices this and uses that as his moment to begin his opening strike against Paul. And what does he do, Zach? He fucking just bops this kid as hard as he can in the nose with like a fucking, I couldn't tell if it was a closed fist or if he does like the open palm, like push at his nose, but he definitely just knocks the shit out of Paul's nose and kind of sends Paul reeling back a little bit.
Yeah. That's like one of the few hits that he lands though.
Yeah.
In the beginning of this fight.
Yep. At least a hit that isn't part of a block.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you and with the listeners. This is going to be very difficult to explain this fight in an audio only podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do my best here.
Well, yeah, let's do our best. I did not honestly like do a move by move notation.
Yeah, I did.
Good. Well, thank you. Basically, what I remarked here is that they're trading blows back and forth. Neither of them are better than the other.
They are and they aren't.
Well, okay, maybe a better way of saying that is they are better in different ways.
Yeah.
Paul is really good on defense, but not good on attack.
Whereas Jameis is fucking just berserker mode here and he's going in. And one thing that I noticed is, and maybe this is an intentional thing, maybe it's not, maybe it's something that Gurney taught Paul. Mm-hmm. It seems like Paul is almost toying with Jameis.
Oh, yeah. We'll
letting Jameis wear himself down. Because. Jameis lunges at Paul, specifically at Paul's gut. Paul begins blocking, but we're not exactly sure how the camera's being done, or how he blocks, because the camera moves to behind Jameis, but you kind of hear like the sound of like two arms thudding against each other or whatever. Mm-hmm. Jameis in turn smacks Paul's arms out of the way and then tries for an overhead swing. And this is where I think Paul's like kind of playing with him, because Paul can very clearly see this overhead swing, and he's kind of doing this like bob and weave side to side, you know, dodging thing, almost like you would see from like a boxer.
Yeah.
Right. And he's doing it pretty gracefully in this, you know, sequence. And this is where we see that divergence in the fighting styles, where Jameis is really going for like quick, short stabs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Paul's going for, I guess, more graceful, like swipes and things.
Well, let's unpack that for a second, because I'm dipping into my book notes here, but that is a key thing that is highlighted in the books, is how the fighting styles are different.
Yeah.
Paul is only used to training and fighting with shields. So we know the axiom for shield fighting.
Yep.
Fast on defense, slow on attack.
Yep.
So it makes sense that Paul is like, he's able to block everything, sure, but the little openings that we see that he could easily just like, you know, stab and murk him, he doesn't view those as openings necessarily, because he's still thinking there's a shield involved. So he is very slow on the attack. And this is something that Jessica notices immediately, like in the books anyways, and she's worried about. So I'll talk more about it later. But I feel like for today's episode,
we kind of just need to blend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I think this is a show don't tell moment. Like if you have a keen eye, you can recognize this stuff.
There are definitely a lot of, I mean, I would just call them Easter eggs for those people that are watching this very closely.
Yeah. Can I read a little bit from the script?
Yeah.
So this is like stage direction that they were given. He attacks immediately and repeatedly, talking about Jameis. Swift, brutal blows, each one a killing stroke. He is utterly confident, taller, stronger, contemptuous of this weak foreign boy. But in Paul,
skinny ass white boy.
But in Paul, Jameis has met a level of training the Fremen have never seen. Paul evades, deflects every attack without breaking a sweat, calm and steady. Each time his counterattack is exquisitely graceful, on target. Ellipses. And slow. Timed as if Jameis wore a shield. Each time Jameis jerks away in time to survive. That is clearly written out in the script, but I do love the choice of
... and slow.
Well, that and them not having Jessica take up the mantle of Captain Exposition and go out loud, he's fighting as if he's wearing a shield.
Yeah.
Like they've done a plenty of times in the movie.
A few times, yeah.
So I think this was really good. This was a good choice to be like, okay, they are evenly matched for different reasons, but they seem to be very evenly matched right now.
Yeah. And we see eventually, as Jameis is kind of wearing his own energy down with these quick attacks and everything, Paul does find an opening.
Yeah.
And he goes for Jameis's legs, because Jameis has been focused solely on Paul's torso.
Yep.
And he, in doing so, leaving his legs exposed, Paul tries to do like a sweeping motion with his Chris knife, which causes Jameis to, you know, kind of jump up and protect his calves and stumble back for a moment. This gives both of them kind of a second to breathe and, you know, in Paul's case, wipe the blood from his nose and, you know, recollect themselves. Jameis waits a moment longer and then does something that we haven't seen and we didn't see with Gurney and Paul's training. And I went back and, you know, rewatched that scene while I was taking the notes and stuff from here to see if there were any similarities. But Jameis is doing this really cool from the bottom up strike kind of at Paul's face in this moment, which isn't familiar to Paul, at least in what we've seen from that training sequence earlier. And then this causes Paul to, you know, kind of fall off balance, leaving Jameis with an opening to kind of go in with a flurry of attacks and everything at Paul's torso. So much so that Paul is kind of doing a Looney Tunes, like, you know, stumble back and then he falls.
You stumble backward for 15 steps.
Kind of thing. Stumble backward for 15 steps and then he falls and lands on his back on the ground.
Yeah.
Which is probably the worst place to be in.
Thankfully.
But also the best. We'll get to there in a second.
His training has prepared him for this. And like, this is the point where I made a specific note. It's like, this is impressive footwork.
Yes.
Like from both of them.
Yep.
Cause like Paul sweeps the legs, like from a ground position, he like sweeps Jameis's legs and like they get into like
not just yet.
Okay. Am I jumping ahead?
You are.
Okay.
Jameis goes to lunge down at Paul. Paul has already stopped and dropped. Now he's rolling away from the fire. And then he sweeps Jameis's legs out from under him. But this isn't the first time that we've seen this, because this is the exact same motion that he does when he sweeps out the Harkonnen's legs in the back of the ornithopter that we saw earlier. And I went back and checked.
It is the
exact same motion, too. So we kind of get a little bit of that callback to that as well.
Nothing but consistent, right?
Hey, you know, if it works, it works, right? And it's kind of disappointing because, you know, we see that Paul doesn't follow the sage advice of Dale Gribble and hit Jameis with some pocket sand.
That is an excellent King of the Hill reference.
But he does knock Jameis on his ass. And then, you know, Paul continues to roll away and kind of gets up and recollects himself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's imagine he did hit him with the pocket sand. Would they think that's they would think that's so disrespectful? That is not honorable.
No, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some cheap bullshit. That
is not honorable. Oh my God. They would fucking lose their minds.
But also in Paul's mind. All right. So here's a question for you. Would pocket sand be traveling fast enough to be deflected by a shield?
I'm going to say 80% yes.
All right.
The dust, maybe not. Huh. Like the real fine stuff.
Yeah.
But all the actual like particles. Yeah. I think it would be. Yeah. So pocket
sand. Because then it would be annoying as shit, because then the dust is inside the shield. And then you have that like Hot Ones Idris Elba moment where he's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Or it's just pulling
all the references out for today.
Or if it just like it begins to slowly go through the shield and it just like stays there for a little bit and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, kind of like how you see the gas very slowly penetrate Baron Harkonnen's shield.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe pocket sand is acceptable in shield fighting, but not in non-shielded.
Not in Fremen fights.
So yeah, when does Paul find his opening?
Well, so Jameis is on his back. Paul uses the moment to get back on his feet and prepare for the fight to continue. Mm-hmm. Jameis is definitely looking a lot more tired now.
Well, yeah, he's been at 100% this whole fight.
I know.
I know you're getting there.
And now Paul finds his opening. Paul opens with a lunge at Jameis, who dodges and then goes in for a belly swipe at Paul. Paul dodges. Jameis goes in for a few more lunges before Paul finds Jameis's wrist with his own hand, grabs Jameis's wrist holding the knife, and Paul has his knife at Jameis's throat. Well, Chani's knife at Jameis's throat, but sure. You know, who's
whatever.
Technically Chani's great aunt's knife at Jameis's throat. But who's counting, really?
We are. We're counting.
And then Paul says something very interesting that no one was expecting.
No.
Do you yield? And then
Paul.
And then there's the most disappointed uproar from the crowd.
They're shocked.
Hot dogs and beers are getting thrown into the fight. Everyone's pissed off. And Stilgar, in his sassy, calming voice, says, "The boy doesn't know our rules. There's no yielding under the Amtal rule. Only death is the test of it."
Yeah. Yeah. The way he kind of starts that, too, is like the same way that
The boy doesn't know our rules.
Well, it's that, but it's also like if you were watching like a football game on TV and the ref makes a weird call, you'd also be like, whoa, come on. Come on, ref, you blind?
Fucking umpires, man.
Yeah, only death is the test of it. And God, Jameis's scream right after this moment. Oh. And his screams for the rest of the fight, fucking terrifying, man.
Well, so Jameis breaks free. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have that just super visceral. Rah, rah,
like Babs, come on, dude. Like that is the most intensity I think we've seen this entire movie.
I
so good.
Yeah.
It is so, so, so good.
And then, so Jameis breaks free. Paul continues to catch Jameis off guard.
Mm-hmm.
In total, has Jameis caught with 3 more killing blows, but yeah. Never goes through with it.
Yeah.
And Stilgar even says at this point.
Well, before Stilgar talks, yeah. Jameis looks confused.
Yeah.
He's like, I could have been dead 4 times by now. Yeah. Like, why am I still alive?
Yeah. One of the killing blows was the blow that Gurney had against Paul.
Oh, nice.
So Paul had his knife to Gurney's throat.
Mm-hmm.
But with the look down, my lord, you would have joined me in death. When Gurney yeah. had the knife against Paul's chest, Paul had his knife pressed against, not pressed, but right up against Jameis's
rib cage.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I love these little callbacks, man. They're really great.
It also makes sense given that they're all choreographed by the same person.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah, all those little callbacks and stuff, if you're, you know, a psychopath watching this movie minute by minute and taking notes and everything.
Yeah.
Are definitely there.
This prompts Stilgar to ask.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite lines of this week.
And he's talking to Jessica at this point. He's not talking to.
He goes, is he toying with him? Jessica starts to respond, and this is where our minute ends. She goes, no, Paul, and that's it. And that's all we get.
Yep.
Is he toying with him? I love that. It's very, very good. What an intense fight, man. Not to use the same word, but this is intense.
Yeah. Look, this is the end of the movie. We need to have that big, just like, super high energy moment, and man, this fucking, it nails it.
Yeah. Let me sprinkle some book garnish onto this meal we've made of the fight, and we'll continue it tomorrow. But so as with most passages throughout the book, it's less focused on the action. And it's more focused on the internal feelings and thoughts and whatever of the characters. So during the lead up to the fight, Paul, like he's seen this moment in his visions before.
We saw
that moment in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well. But he's struggling how to translate those prescient visions into real life. And I have a little excerpt from the book that I want to read that really illustrates that. It goes, anything could tip the future here, he realized, and he being Paul.
Yeah.
Someone coughing in the group of watchers, which is what we may have been alluded to when he looked over. A distraction, a variation in the glow globe's brilliance, a deceptive shadow. So all those things he's remarking could change the future that he's seen. And he thinks to himself or tells himself, I'm afraid. So he's nervous. Like, and you said like his stomach was getting in knots and everything yesterday. And he absolutely is. Like he's nervous right here.
Well, this is his first time in true combat.
Yeah. And for as big and bad and as like up on his high horse as Paul has been, pretty much since the ecological testing station scene, like he's been humbled in this moment. Like he's been brought back down to reality.
Yep. There goes gravity.
So he uses the litany against fear to kind of center himself again in the books. And he makes it very clear that he's at a disadvantage because he only knows shield fighting.
Yep.
And that plays out. Jessica's very concerned about it. She notices just from his actions about how slow he is on the attack. And she's like trying to plead with, I guess, herself because she can't talk.
Stilgar told her to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She's just like, come on, Paul. And she's like hoping that Jameis doesn't realize this.
Yeah.
And she's hoping that Paul realizes it so he can adjust. So the moment where Paul asks Jameis if he yields, that whole scene plays out the same way in the books.
Yeah.
So they just took that directly from the pages. And it's too good not to.
Yeah.
That's too good. The scene that follows that, where they have the like three or four different opportunities for Paul to make those killing blows, that scene plays out slightly different. I think I said this maybe a week or two ago.
Okay.
Stilgar looks over at Jessica. I'm just going to read what the book says.
Yeah.
He says, "Is your son playing with that poor fool?" Stilgar asked. He waved her to silence before she could respond. "Sorry, you must remain silent." So, just sassy bitch.
Yeah. God, I love Stilgar. And here's the thing, too. We're just getting into Stilgar territory.
We got so much more. So much more later. Yeah. But, he knows how to make an entrance. And, like, again, just such good acting, such good portrayal by Javier Bardem. wonderful. Wonderful stuff.
We love it. We love it.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I had. Anything else from your end?
That's our minute.
That's it.
It was a thick one, but
we got another one coming up.
Yep, we're not done.
All right, cool. Well, if you would like to get in touch with us, we are on all of the socials that we always mention. One more time, those are Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are on Blue Sky at Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute, and we also accept emails. If you'd like to send us an email, our email address is duneminute@gmail.com.
That was the most robotic ass social plug.
Well, I was thinking, I'm just now getting it memorized.
Right as we're ending this season of the Dune Minute?
Yeah.
All right.
You switched it up last week on me. You added a new one.
It's not my fault.
That's fair.
Fucking Elon.
Anyways. All right. We will be back tomorrow to continue out this fight scene and see what happens afterwards.
Yep. We'll see you then.
See ya. We'll